Hi, I'm Doug Tribou from NPR's Only a Game. Bill Littlefield's on vacation this week. In place of his weekly commentary, we thought we'd bring you an encore edition of our popular new feature. It's called In Their Own Words. And with the Tour de France underway, we thought a cycling theme would be appropriate. Catherine Bertin is a writer and a filmmaker, but she's also a professional cyclist. And in May of 2012, she had just one job: to qualify for the London Olympics. That journey took her around the world to vie for Olympic qualifying points. Bertin was one of 82 women to compete in the Vuelta El Salvador, a grueling 7-day stage race. Only the top eight would get closer to their Olympic dreams. Catherine picks up the story from there in her own words.
I had been in that realm of, okay, I made it to the professional level. Maybe this is good enough. Sometimes when you make it to that level that you're trying to get to for so long, for a moment you pause and you say, okay, breathe, I'm here. What really needs to happen in order to thrive is to say, okay, now that I'm here, how can I make myself as an athlete better, faster, stronger? Embracing that maybe, like, well, what happens if I try to push the envelope? What happens if I go beyond my comfort zone physically? That was my maybe. You know, maybe if you do this, you'll get Olympic points. And if you don't, then you'll never know. It really was this personal quest that I was on to get as close as I could to the Olympic Games. So it was imperative that I just, you know, kept trying and trying to get into the breakaway, which is what we call in cycling the lead group. For so many years, I've been watching and learning and waiting to see what other cyclists were doing, and maybe I'd try to react to their moves. And it dawned on me, like, I can't do that anymore. Now I have to be the one that's making the moves and taking the chances. Am I going to, as we say, blow up and absolutely crack and have a terrible race, or am I going to fly? I compare the peloton to being the lion and the breakaway to being the lamb. And the way that a peloton stalks its prey is deliberate and slow moving until the very last minute, until the pounce. It's vicious, and, you know, that's the beauty of it. Maybe the lamb is the one with the guts. You know, we always kind of look at the lion as, you know, the king of the jungle, but sometimes the lambs do get away, as long as they're faster than other lambs, I suppose. I was at events in El Salvador at that time and later down into Venezuela. Very difficult race, you know, 7-day stage race. The roads were not great, and the heat, you know, we're talking 100-degree temperatures every day for upward of 60 to 100 miles, so really tough conditions. And it was physically grueling. That was one of the hardest in my career. I was in a solo break for a little while by myself. What happens, as you can imagine, is when you've got one person alone in the wind, that's just exhausting after a while. So I started to fade and fade and fade, and I was coming back into the grasp of the peloton. And I'd tried so many counterattacks and, you know, tried doing that again and again, and was just, you know, at the end of my rope physically. It is so physically and mentally hard to watch the peloton ride away from the efforts that you just put in. You have done your best, you have tried your hardest, and you are just completely physiologically out of energy. It's all been sapped from you. So you are just kind of on this trajectory backward, and everybody else is moving forward. And you just kind of want to scream out, like, no, you know, like, wait for me. And as I'm kind of sailing back through the peloton, you know, almost about to be spit out the back and just that would be the end of my day, I felt this hand on my back. You know, in cycling, that's regarded as a push. I couldn't imagine who this could be. Who would be helping me in this manner? Who is it that's trying to acknowledge that, you know, I've put down some good attacks and they don't want to see me fail? And the hand belonged to a rider named Evelyn Garcia, who's on the El Salvador national team. She probably weighs about 50 pounds less than me. She's this tiny, tiny rider. Sometimes a second or two is all you need in cycling. And it saved me. I think physically, I was able to stay in the peloton, but also emotionally too, kind of, you know, someone saying, hey, I recognize what you've done and I've got your back. this push was a validation that I belonged in this level of cycling, that my goals were valid, and a validation that I had paid my dues to the sport also. I mean, I'd been in the sport for 5 years at that point. So to have somebody from a different culture, a different country, a different language, you know, give me that push felt like this validation of, okay, we understand. I did not qualify for the London Olympics, but that moment actually felt like my own personal London. A lot of athletes struggle with doubt at some point in their career. We doubt whether we're on the right path, whether we should have given up years ago, whether it still means anything to us. You know, we all go through these growing pains in sport. And when someone else reaches out and does something, an act of kindness, it's pretty powerful.
Catherine Bertin wrote a book about her unsuccessful quest to qualify for the London Olympics. It's called The Road Less Taken. Her retelling of the chapter titled The Empress of Maybe was produced by Only a Game's Karen Given. To hear more of our In Their Own Words features, visit onlyagame.org. And coming up on this weekend's edition of the show with guest host Shira Springer, as the U.S. tries to secure the 2024 Olympic Games, we'll learn why it's so hard for cities to put together competitive bids. We'll also look at whether it's worth the effort at all. And we'll meet an American woman who's taking on the Japanese tradition of sumo wrestling. That's coming up on the next edition of Only a Game. And remember, you can always find more sports stories at onlyagame.org.